It's already the second day of this important session. Of course, those of you who have the aim of practice solidly fixed, you don't need to be pushed. You're pouring all your energy, body and mind, into your practice. Just one with this one tante. Becoming one with this one tante. In the beginning, it seems that there is a self-will. There's a me doing this practice. I'm practicing my aim. This is my step. This is my own effort, my own practice. I am practicing. That's the way it feels. It really feels like I'm laboring to practice. It's like when you start out driving a car. It's kind of the same. You put the car in gear and you press the accelerator and vroom, vroom. You start out with the aim to go. And it all depends on what you put into it. But along the way, what now seems to be your self-will practicing comes to be practice practicing. Practice practicing yourself. The personal will becomes will of Dharma. What you first regard as your effort as this human being, comes to be unconditional Dharma at work. Try it and see. You will experience it as I've explained it. It's presumptuous to talk about my own experiences, but it's more real in a sense than bringing in somebody else's experiences and talking about it. This is something that happened that before I knew anything about Zazen or practice. It's during the war when we were required to strengthen our spirits, strengthen our willpower. We were told that if the youth of the country isn't strong, then we can't protect the country. And at school, rather than learning theoretical things, the emphasis was on strengthening body and mind. And they were very strict at school at this time. They were driving us to run faster and farther. They made us run a long way every day. I had read something from the Chinese classics, which meant a lot to me. It spoke of, I believe, a great power, a power greater than a self-will that I might feel that I had. Begin with a sense of a personal will, then practice becomes the will of Dharma. Mysteriously along the way, a great power comes to you. Anyway, I was quite infected by the spirit of this, what I had read, and I would chant this chant in my belly wholeheartedly before and as I ran. All of us running were at about the same level. But this day, this happened, my running was something different from what it had ever been. First it was painful, but soon the pain was forgotten, and by or through some strange power, I was sped along. At about 4 kilometers or so, the body was lost, forgotten. It was like riding the wind, not running on legs. It was just zoom, zoom, zoom. I zoomed in well ahead of anyone else, and without a bit of pain and not a bit tired. And there was no feeling whatsoever of having forced myself to do anything. While when the others came in, they were drenched in sweat and puffing and blowing like all get out. Now this was not my usual way of making that run. That was a run in samadhi with samadhi power. So I remember the experience well. in the beginning, our practice seems to be a matter of personal will. But along the way, it clearly becomes will of Dharma. There are limits to your own personal will, your own will, personal power, your own personal willpower. From the beginning, we decide how much we can do, how far we can go, how much strength we have. We restrict ourselves. And in restricting yourself, you start out in your practice as a loser, because you're practicing something which is unrestricted, which is limited, limitless. The real way to start out in practice now is by dropping body and mind. Let go from the beginning. Now, just say to yourself, I'll just practice as I've been shown. Give yourself up to this and start out practicing. I'll just practice as I've been shown. Of course, even so, you'll do your head, you'll haggle in your head this and that, that or this. And of course, it's still painful physically. Running and zazen are the same in that way. My knees ache, my back, my legs, my stomach. This is my condition now, you'll be thinking and calculating. Complaints you'll feel. And comparing yourself with somebody else, not wanting to come out on the bottom. And what you've heard and learned up to now, it comes up in your head and you compare it and churn it around. And, well, you fall into what the ego idea has to offer. But, you're also propelled by your aim. Just set aside body and mind. Forget about them. Throw yourself into the house of Buddha. This is the spirit in which you started, in which you're starting out, remember? I'll just practice as I've been shown. And so, whatever comes up, neither be a party to it, nor try to reject it. Just doing your practice. If you practice this way without fail, the genuine you, not the selfish me mind, the genuine you definitely reveals itself. In truth, there is nothing outside of this genuine you. Everything in the world, everything is this genuine you. But you're always limiting yourself, building walls and ditches and making yourself into a small, brittle thing. Why, even a tiny, sweet little bird, we can even look to a little bird. She flies thousands of kilometers through the vast sky, migrating, flying. Or even a tinier being, a dragonfly, flies freely, nobly, flying freely through the sunlight, with its big old eyeballs bulging and its tiny wings beating furiously. Sisters and brothers getting along, parents and children working together, this oneness world. Even the tiniest beings who look so weak have body and mind dropped and are nobly working in consonance with the universe. It's said that those who know this find it fierce and awesome, but we'll say it, all beings are Buddha nature. see, appreciate for yourself this great all-inclusive Buddha nature. What a pity to make yourself into such a trifling thing, locked inside, peeking out to see everything at a distance. Always comparing, which of course breeds competition and envy and jealousy. These so-called weak-looking creatures that we're talking about, they're not encased in all that. Not living this way, the little bird. Ask the little bird, where are you going? Peep, 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 peep. He answers with his whole being. Life. Life, that's what you've got to awaken to. Life. As human beings, we are so very fortunate. We're the most fortunate, the most protected, we can say. All beings are cared for, protected, of course, but there are differences. To be granted a human birth is a truly blessed state, thanks to remarkable karmic circumstances. We have this human body. Isn't it thanks to the universe? The more you realize the rareness of this human body, the remarkable karmic causes that gave you this body, the more humble you come before it all. You'll see how pathetically arrogant you've been, how conceited, and how you've always used others. The genuine, this oneness truth, this truth. There's nothing to grasp, no possibility of grasping, no one to grasp, no thing to be grasped. And what's more, everything is great, round harmony. Everything, all of everything, melted together into this great whole. We are one. This is the most important matter. It's your purpose to come alive to just this. We are one. Tranquil is this realm of mind, ever filled with heavenly beings. This is my realm. This is no stingy eye. Ever filled with heavenly beings. Heavenly beings or heaven might hold some mistaken connotations to you. This heavenly being isn't a being that seeks to make life a little more comfortable for themselves or the nest a bit more padded. It's not a being who covets pleasure. And just, there's still no feeling of superiority just because any and everything is mine. These heavenly beings are raised and nurtured Buddha children. I seek, want, need nothing, because everything is already mine. I wonder, do you question that it's valid to see the world this way? Tranquil is this realm of mine, ever filled with heavenly beings. Each line of the sutras tells it just like it is, without need for interpretation. Each line of the sutra jumps into your lap for you, because it is your life. If only you will all awaken thoroughly to this. There's no pretending, even to yourself, that you've seen what you haven't seen. The look in your eyes, the sound of your voice gives you away. So careful, you don't try to fool yourself. You've still got much work to do. Stick with it. Not yet, not yet. There's always teaching. You're always being taught. Don't attach to what you've heard. You're hearing it all the time. You have to let go. You have to let go. Die for once, the great death. Comparing is painful. Holding on is painful. Attaching, carrying, it's heavy bags. The Buddha Dharma teaching is the teaching of liberation. Haven't you heard this? Why? Because there's no holding on to it. To what? There never was anything to have to try to hold on to. This is liberation. No one to hold. So everything has disappeared. There is no thing. Is this boring, you think? Experience it. See it for yourself. Die the great death. Let go of everything and give yourself over to Dharma. You'll see how boring it all was, how lonely you were, how unfree you were. What a world of worries you had yourself immersed in. Try it. See for yourself. Receive all of this yourself. Don't give up in the beginning before you start. Oh, not me. Thankfully, all the Buddhas and patriarchs show us the way, provide examples. Shakyamuni Buddha left, gave up his beloved parents, his wife, his children. He gave up everything. He left home. That showed his determination to give up the ego idea, me, me, mine. And he determined not to attach to this body, undergoing tough ascetic practices, refusing to indulge himself, deliberately causing pain to the body. But he saw that this kind of practice only gave a sort of temporary satisfaction. After fasting 30, 40 days, the taste of a grain of rice is incredible. Many people have experienced this for themselves, but once the fast is broken, there's still desire for more and more. If one isn't careful, gluttony can follow fasting. That wasn't liberation. The problem wasn't solved by this kind of practice. So Shakyamuni Buddha sat as we're sitting now, this session. We're given the chance to practice wholly body and mind. Correct posture, making an investigation of self. This was the practice of Shakyamuni, and he passed it on to us. When all was ripe and Shakyamuni saw the morning star, he attained great enlightenment. All was brightness, not just the morning star. When Shakyamuni Buddha completely let go of all attachment, let go of body and mind, the immediate karmic stimulus was for Shakyamuni was the morning star. But everything of and with itself was reborn there. All being, sentient and not, the trees, the grasses, the great earth, together attained Buddhahood. All the universe is Buddhahood, nothing in excess, nothing missing. Everything just good, good, yes. all beings are Buddha, endowed with Buddha wisdom, Buddha virtue. All, the beginningless past, the infinite future, all, now here, this one Tante. Nothing is excluded, nothing missing. We are all perfectly okay, protected. So, you know that you can't just sit back, can you? You don't feel that you can hesitate or wallow in objections, do you? Even so, when the complaints and objections do arise, as they will, open up your palms and let it go. Neither follow up nor seek to reject whatever you encounter. But how do I do that, really? Just exactly the way to go about it has been given you, each one of you. The most immediate, straightforward, power-granting, powerful, clear way is the koan mu. It's because if you're doing mu, you give body and mind to mu. Give body and mind over to mu. Naturally, from within mu, you just do mu. Now I know that you may object, but my mu practice isn't wholehearted, it isn't completely all out. Everything is mu, is not what I'm experiencing. I know this. Even if or though you are really determined to stick with mu energetically, your efforts are attended with much difficulty. It's not easy. It doesn't always go the way you would have it. That's why you, and that's every one of you, has got to resolve not to get discouraged. Definitely don't let yourself get discouraged. Even if you fall down, just get up. Die thoroughly and see for yourself how easy it all is. Without death, you can't begin to imagine the ease. The great death. Of course, it's not throwing away this body, this one life. That's utterly selfish to think of doing that. That's throwing away this body is an event or a product of the ego notion. It's not dying the great death. It's tying yourself to a worldly death. True death, in practice, is dedicating body and soul, making an offering of body and mind, letting go of selfishness entirely as your offering. During Sesshin, there's just this one thing for you to do, simply, just doing. It'd be a crying shame if you didn't awaken to this wonder, if you didn't prostrate yourself before the wonder that is all, that's everything in the universe. It would be a shame not to come to appreciate, celebrate real life. You have been awarded this human birth for the purpose of coming to know, appreciate life, and to repay or to show your appreciation to the universe. Without awakening, it's not possible to appreciate, to show or repay your boundless appreciation. This is the practice of living the eternal, continuing Dharma way. That's just now and here, this one breath. this one breath. Please make up your mind to do just this. Together with all beings, we attain Buddhahood.